Verse 1 of Romans 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above? Or, who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not heard or have not believed? And how shall they hear, how shall they believe? And how shall they, believe without hearing? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. All today, a carrier of good news, it's like a drink of cool water in a thirsty land. Folks need this truth today. Certainly we understand that salvation is somewhat confused. And Paul is extremely burdened, in particular in the text that we've read, for his brethren after the flesh. He does speak from personal experience. He speaks as one to whom God has revealed the gospel. And certainly he had. And I want to deal with this matter of salvation just in a simple fashion for a few moments this morning. First of all, salvation is provided. You realize that there's a lot of folks that are looking into this matter, and their thought is that they're at liberty to make a choice as to a way out of many ways. And that's just not true. God has provided salvation, and salvation is provided. Now, there's a negative side to consider in this matter, and I want to do that here this morning, and then we'll deal with the positive side of the issue and some things related to it. Negatively considered, salvation is not in the law of Moses. Much has been made about the Ten Commandments, about this matter of the Golden Rule, the accomplishment and so forth of the individual, but as we think in terms of it, one of the great ways of doing this, and I speak in a sense of an enlarging, is that they believe it's in the law of Moses. Now, the law does seem to be a good standard. I would that the judge down in, and he did, he got a reprieve on it and was able to restore the Ten Commandments in his courtroom. And I'm grateful that there's a place. You talk about a foolish mind to believe that the law would prejudice a man in the wrong way. I'll let you in on a little secret. Not very many Baptist preachers get on a jury. That's fact. I went in to be paneled, and they had quite a large crowd, about 60-something candidates to be paneled, and out of that they were going to choose 12 that would decide the fate of this man. He was a third-time offender, which meant that he could be sentenced to life. Now, I don't know whether he did or not. They said, "We don't need you." I was one of those that they took advantage of and dismissed for no reason. Out of on a panel of jurors, and unless you served on jury duty, you won't, may not know this, but they can dismiss a certain number without giving any reason. They didn't give any reason. They just decided they didn't want me. I'm not even sure the defense wanted me, much less the prosecution. But in that paneling process, there was a woman that they asked if she could send anybody to prison for life. Her answer was, "No, I can't." They talked with her a little bit and she said, "Yes, I can." They talked with her a little more and she said, "No, I can't." Now, I don't know whether she can or can't, but she didn't, at least as far as I know. Get down to the law. It's a good standard. I'm thankful that judge was able to restore that monument that is the law and put it in the courtroom. And it's not going to prejudice folks in the wrong way. Now, we realize it is our weakness and not the weakness of the law. Therefore, the law fails is in our weakness, not in the weakness of God, nor His Word, nor the law. It is a good schoolmaster, and it does teach you some things. But it also teaches you how to get to Christ and makes you want to get to Christ. So we see then, negatively considered, that it's not the law of Moses. Second thing, it's not in religion. Israel was religious. There's not any question about that. He said, "My kinsmen, my brethren, according to the flesh. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Lord. They've gotten this thing all messed up. They're believing that it's because they are religious. They do have a zeal of God, but it's not based on correct knowledge of God. And so Paul rightfully had a concern for his brothers. And we all have a concern for somebody that doesn't know the truth about Jesus Christ and why he came. We think about salvation being provided. We've looked at the negative side of this situation. Now, it is provided through Jesus Christ. Christ is the sinless Lamb of God. Thank God that there's somebody that not only could say of the Father's will, I do always those things that please Him in that sense. As He walked here on earth as a man. But that He could and did keep the law. If you want to see the law in action, look at the life of Jesus Christ. We're told that Christ is the sinless Lamb of God, or the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist said to a couple of men that were standing by him, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, taketh away the sin of the world." Now he said that the first day. The second day, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the idea was that the first day needed to be saved. The second day, they needed to just follow Christ. But he arose from the dead. He conquered death. And he is declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Second major thought I want to share with you is that it is a be saved salvation and not a save yourself salvation. If we could save ourselves, we'd have to do the providing. And I know my inability, and I'm pretty sure about everybody else that I've run across in life, that they're not capable of providing salvation in their own human effort, whatever means they might choose. We must do the providing, and we need to do then the applying. We have to apply. But to be saved, we must behold another. Thank God for His grace today. We must trust another. And we behold this other one. How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how are they going to really hear without a preacher? And how are they going to preach unless they're sent? And then I could launch out into a tirade and talk about the very fact of churches that are willing to do something about carrying the gospel to every creature. But for the sake of time, we won't. Third point, it is the Lord who does the saving. Psalm 27 and verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Interesting story, or parable, really, in Luke 15. And there are three lost things in that chapter. As the story progresses, or the parable progresses, those particular items that are mentioned become more valuable. And ultimately, we get on over a chapter or two and we find out that there's a lost son that finally is brought home. But the shepherd sought a lost sheep until he found it. The woman sought her lost coin until she found it. And the father forgave and restored a lost son. I hope that you appreciate that. Now, he does save all that call upon him. It's not just any name. There's a lot of names associated with religion today. Won't bother to try to name them, but just declare to you that there's a lot of names, but there's only one name. And salvation is not just repeating a formula, even though we're told in the Word that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not just repeating a formula. It involves a casting of oneself on the mercy of God in the name of that person. Simply, He saves the whosoever wills. Those who say no, He rejects. In conclusion, 4 points. Paul desired Israel's salvation. Secondly, he saw their lack of understanding. Third thing, he with great deliberation laid out salvation. And the issue today is, are you saved or are you trying to save yourself? Plain as I can make it. Don't know what else to say for it. Except, you don't know Him, trust Him. If you do know Him, you ought to be thankful. But let's stand together. Musicians, come on and make ready the salvation number, the invitation, and I'll pray with the rest. Father, it's in the name of Jesus Christ that I pray this morning. That Your will be done in hearts and lives of folks that are here today. It might be that there's somebody here that's listening and they've never come to that place of belief because they haven't honestly heard of Him in the truest sense of the word. But all that they might know Christ, whom to know is life eternal. I pray that You'll bless this invitation, for I ask in that glorious name of Jesus Christ our Lord.